Hey everybody, good morning and welcome. Our Sunday morning Zoom meeting where we share together, and we're glad that you are listening or watching with us. And I have the Bettendorfs back from a little hiatus in Mexico. Good to have you guys back.
Thank you.
And
Glad to be back.
yeah, and our usual suspects, Arnold and David Fulton, from Southern Cal and Spokane Valley, respectively. So, guys, we are here together again. I'm excited. What has God been doing? If you saw my email that I sent out, I had mentioned a link that Drifter had sent me, and it was called God Updates. Did any of you check that out? It's a news piece that's devoted entirely to positive and inspirational news and stories. What I see of it so far, I'm delighted. I think it's long overdue. There have been other kinds of variations of this, but this is one that's done quite well. And so, just click on that link in that email, and it'll open up the link to for you to subscribe or whatever you want to do. If you don't want to subscribe to it, that's fine too. You don't have to, but I would encourage you. It's a well done piece. So
Yeah, I took a quick look at it, but I haven't really got into any of the articles yet.
yeah. And so it made me think it might be just a timely way for us to just catch up and to hear what God's doing in each of our lives. David and I have talked about some things that are happening in his life, and I don't know. I think I've shared my magic story with all of you. I think you've heard that story, so I don't want to wear that one out.
Let me throw out a question to you guys. I shared with Dennis this week that I have a friend who's gay. Really nice guy. All right, he's been married a couple of times. He's got a daughter and a granddaughter. And I think he shared that it was after his second marriage he finally came to grips with the fact that he was gay. But he's a very faithful man. He has served time in ministry. And he loves the Lord. Okay, so I sat down with him this week and I asked him, I said, how do you reconcile being gay with traditional Christian theology, the whole heaven and hell thing? And his question or his answer was very interesting. But let me throw in a question here. Is it what are your thoughts on a gay person who claims to be a Christian? Is he, I mean, theology would tell us he's going to hell, regardless. Any thoughts on that?
What's the difference between me and that I would cuss every now and then?
Well, I
Oh,
had a
guys.
convert years ago. Years ago, I had a conversation with the young man who was a barista at Starbucks, and he was gay, and he wanted to visit the college group at New Hope. And so he sat down when we first sat, he sat down with me. I said, well, let me ask you a question. What is the worst sin? A married man or a married spouse cheating on the other spouse? Single people just sleeping around or being gay? He said, well, aren't they all the same? I said, yeah. I said, God forgives all of it. I said, but Also, it's not my place to tell you that you're supposed to leave the gay lifestyle. That's between you and God. You know, I mean, if you feel God's laying something on your heart to make some changes in your life, then so be it. But until you're not sensing, you know, if you're not sensing that God's telling you to make any changes, then just continue on and keep pursuing an understanding of God. But this individual told me, he said, well, he struggled for years. I'm gay, I'm a Christian, what's going to happen? Now, Dennis, you might know this. I haven't really looked into it, but he made the statement that in the original Greek of the Bible, or the original Hebrew, homosexuality isn't even mentioned.
The word homosexual, yes, is more of an anglicized word, or word that we find in the English translations. But the Hebrew, as I understand it, Dave, is the word we get sodomite from. The word that you'll find, like, where the Sodom gets its name, the city of sodomites. And the sodomites, a sodomite is a person who, that I understands, is one who participates in anal sex. That's where the word comes from. And of course, that whole thing is a perversion of the natural, right?
Sure.
But as translations have moved on or evolved, the word homosexual was used to refer to that. That's more of a contemporary idiom or idea that original word, Hebrew word, translates. It's really for a person. I know this is the typical argument that the homosexual you use. Well, homosexual word isn't even used in the Bible, so it doesn't even refer to us. Well, that's again one of those generalizations that happens with any kind of person who is participating in immorality. It always remember, guys, that man will always change his theology to match his morality, and that's the case where we see today, especially with these people. And Dave, you indicate that he is a believer, a Christian, which I won't doubt. I know people. I had the fortune years ago when I was on staff at New Hope of dealing with an avowed homosexual. And he came to me and, for whatever reason, began to confess and trust to me as we shared many hours together. And it gave me a real insight into this lifestyle and what goes on in the psyche and consciousness of these people. And you would hear from him the same things you would hear from any other Christian: his love for God, his love for the community of Christ. And yet the internal struggle in that man was horrible. The struggles he had as a child with his own parents, and then finding a community that would accept him, and just all the things that were going on in his soul, right? It was just a life of torment. He finally died, and his death was considered a suspicious. He lived in a trailer, in a mobile home down off of 82nd Avenue, and had a couple dogs. But I read some years later that his trailer home was destroyed in fire, and he was burned, as well as his dogs. And as they got to looking into it, things just didn't add up. They couldn't call it a homicide. It was more deemed as an accidental death. Something had happened. So where I think I'm going with this, guys, is that my own encounter with these people is that I find them living in a horrible confusion. And they want to be accepted, especially within Christendom. They want to find a place that they feel spiritually, where they can feel that, yes, they can be accepted by God. They want to have that community, want to have that endorsement. And so they play with the scripture. They do whatever they can to rationalize the theology to match what's happening in their lives. But it doesn't take away, at least as far as my encounter, it doesn't take away from the horrible internal issues that are going on in these people's lives.
Let me throw a couple things out here. Mm-hmm. He went on to say that he was at a retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And at the retreat, was out by the coast somewhere, he said they all took time just to go out and be alone, take the Bibles with them.
Mm-hmm.
And he was trying to figure out what he wanted to read, and he finally decided, well, I'll just do what they told me to do in Sunday school one time.
Mm-hmm.
Just let the Bible fall open, and it fell open to Psalm 46, and he saw verse 10, be still and know that I am God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, he said at that point, he said he felt a burden lifted off of him.
Mm-hmm.
And that he understood that God loved him.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now, if he's at peace with his situation, fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I have mm-hmm. no reason to believe he isn't, because mm-hmm. he seems to be.
Yeah.
I think the mistake we make as Christians, and I fell into this trap in my early Christian walk, is we will perceive a sin in a person and focus on, you need to correct that,
mm-hmm.
without understanding the underlying tones or mm-hmm. the other problems we don't see that may be contributing to that sin or that issue.
Mm-hmm.
So today, I feel it is inappropriate for me to tell somebody that they have to get out of the gay lifestyle. I feel my focus is sharing the love of God with them and letting God deal with it.
Yeah, yeah. Right, Dave. Let me say this, that as far as the scripture and sin, and is this an abomination with God, and are these people going to be judged excessively, as we've seen, particularly in the Old Testament? Here's how I look at this. We know that within the Old Testament there are very stringent laws against this lifestyle, as there was anything else that was contrary to what God identified as a true Israelite or a true child of God or Hebrew. And so we see those laws, and we today look at those laws as still in effect. But here's the thing we have to keep in mind. Jesus fulfills all those laws. And his death on the cross dramatically changed the whole status of people who heretofore had been judged or were being judged by those laws. They're all consumed in Christ. Unfortunately, what we do as Christians and the church, as we've come to understand it, the Church of Jesus Christ, still wants to portray that those laws are still pertinent. All right? And so we preach these laws as if they are today still applicable. And that's where you get into this notion that these people are still to be condemned or still to be ostracized, or their future is very much in question in terms of God's love and acceptance. What we fail to understand is the love of Christ, as you say, David, superintended and absolved all of those laws in him. So it changes, or should change, our perception that today, you correctly say, Dave, these people are not under condemnation. They're totally being loved by God, and we should exude that same attribute or the same grace and mercy from God. It is not our place to judge, not our place to hold them accountable. God's doing that. He has, in his love, will be lovingly, mercifully dealing with these people and bringing them to a place, again, of wholeness and redemption. The other day, someone said to me, what do I do? My relative is asking me to come to a wedding in which she is going to marry another woman. And this individual was asking me, what do we do? I just can't see myself going. How do I respond? Because I don't believe it's acceptable. I don't believe it's right. And, you know, I've pondered that and gone to the Lord with that. And here's how I'm beginning to see it, guys. The natural stance that we typically would take is that we say, I want nothing or cannot have anything to do with this. Your life represents what I consider abhorrent, abominable sin. And I can't have any place with that. That's the traditional view. That's what we've been taught. That's unfortunately what was been preached. But in this age, guys, what we are recognizing and what I am seeing as I'm venturing into this whole understanding of Christ in me and how he's drawing us into this place where we are now, we're now seeing ourselves as a part of God's outflow of his mercy and love to the world. You know, I'm picturing, of course, or I'm relating to our picture of where we are, Book of Revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. We are in the moving to, or should see ourselves in, the throne of God and at the very center of the mercy seat of God. And what I mean by that is we no longer are dispensing our law and condemnation. We are dispensing mercy and love. And we know that love will be the ultimate force that will overcome and loose people from the bondages that they find themselves in. So as I look at that question, how do I participate or be part of that? I'm being drawn more and more to think of myself as being an agent of love. And if I was asked by a relative to go to something like that, I think I would say to God, give me all that I should be. Give me the consciousness of who you are, Jesus, loving the world back into understanding of you and identity with you, the glory and place where they should be. There will be no reconciling if we condemn, if we stand off, if we differentiate ourselves from those kinds of people. The only thing that will really help in those cases and in all cases, guys, is that if we be agents of love and mercy, that's what's going to set creation free. And I believe God is calling us to move into that level of being these freedom agents. As I've said before, in some of the context, you know, I love that, love this podcast I listen to quite often by Wayne Jacobson, his moniker when you have the podcast, spreading freedom all around.
Yeah, I think, you know, Portland made the news a couple of years back about the bakery that got sued because they didn't want to cater a gay wedding.
Right.
And as I pondered that, and I totally agree with what you just said, Dennis, because as I pondered that, I couldn't help but think that they missed an opportunity. Okay. That perhaps somebody at that wedding is looking, looking for truth. And and I would be doing the same thing, just asking God to let me be a light. And if there's somebody there that I need to share your love with, then he'll make it happen. But you know, we have to get away, because as you were talking about the laws of the Old Testament and how we still like to apply them today, we still like to apply them with severe judgment. At least in the Old Testament, God gave them a way out.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. And we're not really giving them a way out.
No. No. Our posture, David, unfortunately, has been this sanitized condemnation. And they feel it. They know it. We've not yet, I don't believe, as Christians, really come to that place where we can see them as God sees them, as people who are in bondage, bondage to the confusion of their own minds. If you want to see the, if you want the, what I want to call these spiritual position, the psychological position that these people are, all you have to do is read the book of Romans chapter 1, and you'll see exactly what has transpired in these people's minds. And believe me, many of these people, most of the people, it's not been one of choice. You know, this is the other thing. Well, you can choose to be one of these people or not. What you find in the book of Revelation is there's this progression of horrible darkness that just comes step by step into these people's minds. And many times it's not because, as I say, of their own choosing. It's been through circumstances. It's been through all kinds of these other factors, and which lead them to then in more and more into this darkness and the perversion of their own minds. And so as we look at these people, we've got to see, as God sees them, as horrible victims of this perversion, excuse me, and to look at them with mercy and if you will, I'll use the word pity. Because we understand what, you know, compassion. When Jesus looked at the multitudes, he looked at them with pity and compassion, as people who were racked by various levels of these, not only perversions, but in many, sometimes demonic forces. And his heart was broken. He wanted to heal and set them all free. But time and his mission didn't allow him to do that. I believe that's left for us to do. We pick up this ministry in his place now. That's the view that we need to have of these people. I'm not going to divulge here because this is being recorded, but there's a very close friends of all of ours here who could give you some tremendous insight into their family and what they've had to go through, and the power of love that's been demonstrated in this family. And if you want, off the record, if you want to ask me who this is, I'll let you know. But what I want to say is that I believe I'm being called to look at these people not as being expelled or under the certain judgment of God, but I want to look at them as needing the mercy and love of God to set them free. Now, excuse me, Dave, go ahead.
We have to look at them the same way we look at anybody else.
Absolutely.
I mean, the bondage may be a different bondage at all.
Right, it is. It's, I think, and I'm no, you know, I don't have all there is the knowledge in this area, but I want to believe it's probably one of the most horrible bondages because it's so deeply embedded in the psyche. Now, yes, there are some other kinds of bondages, alcoholism, whatever, drug addiction. Those are deep, very pervasive, but I think they are more physiological in nature. This is deeply psychological, deeply spiritual. And what it is really a perversion of identity. I like it to what's also happening. David, I think you and I were sharing this. Maybe with you, I don't know. Pardon me if I told this before to you, but we were with some close friends recently that they have a friend who's a teacher in a school district here locally. And this school teacher was lamenting to them that she didn't know whether she could hang on to reach her retirement because the classroom has gotten so bad. And an illustration of that is that she has to deal with these young children. Now, this is middle school. These children coming in costumes of some cases, animal ears, tails, and walking not on 2 feet, but walking, trying to walk on fours, scratching the other kids, barking at each other. And it's gotten so horrible that she cannot do any real teaching. The classroom is really one of just trying to keep peace among the children. This is the level at which this darkness is pervading now this next generation, see, with the crisis that's going on with identity. That's the forces of darkness. Now, again, I don't want to be pessimistic here and dispelling the doom here. What I'm indicating here is this: that same thing. It's the darkness. But what does Jesus tell us? What does the gospel tell us? It will never overcome the light. The light squelches the darkness, and that's who we are. We are the light. We are the light of life and the love of God to these people that will open up and free them from the darkness and confusion.
The other sad thing about this is that it's the parents who are just as confused, if not, you know, why are they even allowing this?
Right.
Why were they not raising their children to be children?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so. I agree. There's a lot of responsibility that parents are abdicating. But here's the other issue. If it becomes known that a child is not being allowed to express himself and it gets to the authorities, there are some states and some jurisdictions now, and this is actually being recorded, where children are being removed from those homes.
Yeah, last week or some time ago, it happened in Illinois, and it's all going to court right now.
Yeah.
But again, this is just, it's how dark this country is becoming.
Mm-hmm.
Because once our political leaders have fallen into this same trap, it's just going to get ugly.
But see, this is where I see God moving. Yes, we can say, wow, this is where the country is headed, and it looks like destruction and it's calamity, and it's the country's just going to implode and maybe even get involved in like civil unrest or warfare. But here's where I believe God is calling a generation of believers who will see this as our prompting and our opportunity to be the emissaries of love, to be the sons of God, called to liberate creation. And this is just a prelude of what's going to happen, guys, in the next age, in which all out love and the forces of liberation will be released onto the world, and all creation will finally find themselves out from under the bondage, out from under the bondage and the horrible destruction that was set upon it. I get excited and also very fearful. Wow, God, if that's what we're headed toward, you have to prepare us and help us. And I am nowhere where I can walk up to a person in bondage and homosexual and say, be free.
Yeah.
Right? Or even for a person that's ailing or physically under illness, walk up and say, be healed. Now, God has allowed me in some cases to have that privilege, but they're few and far between. I can't just walk out into a crowd of people and say, all of you, be free. Can you imagine that day? Can you see yourself involved in that?
Not really. I can see myself involved in sharing God's love and trying to bring people to an understanding of his love. When you come right down to it, I was thinking about this after our conversation this week. What is it that heals? Jesus didn't have any sort of magical power. What heals is God's love, bottom line.
Amen. Amen.
And it will heal anything. Okay. Yeah. The degree of healing is also going to be different, as Drifter understood in his note to us, as I understand from personal experience of how I was healed. Because people, I've even had people come up to me and say, well, you need to be healed. Why? I have been.
Right.
Healing doesn't always correct a physical deformity or bring about restoration of a limb that's about to be lost. Healing is God's love and the effect it has on you. Okay. As Dennis, as you well know, I've got issues from that accident I was in, but God very clearly told me, I healed you to where you were usable.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. And the realization of that just, okay, you're right, because I started doing things I wouldn't have done if I'd been healed the way I wanted to be. So again, the vastness of God's love is just mind-boggling, I guess. And it's hard sometimes to realize that God's love has healed us when the healing didn't take place in the manner we wanted.
Right. But see, I think that's where we're being trained, Dave. We are still students in comprehending the love of God, the height, the depth, the width, as Paul describes it, the comprehension of the love of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what we're being prepared to understand and be able to manifest to others. See, I the day of the church and judgment and calling out sin is over. Right? The day of us teaching how to manage sin, guys, that's over. That's old stuff. And God is saying, I'm drawing you into a new age, the age in which you will manifest love, the attributes, the greatest attribute of God, into the world, which so sorely needs to know it. Who will be the agents to release the love of God onto the world? That's who we are. Without drawing into question whether people have sinned or how they count, you know, how the law, you know, is placed, we're going to stop thinking in that framework. That whether a person is, oh, you're living in sin, oh, you can't do that. See, that question is gone. God has answered that in the death of Christ. His atonement was complete. We need to move on. We're approaching this new age in which God is calling us to be the sons of God, manifesting Christ and his love into the world as never before. Christianity has not been a very good instrument of God's love.
No, not at all.
We've done a pretty poor job of it. Now we've tried to believe that we could be like Christ and told everybody this is how you can be like Jesus and you can be practice love. But at the same time, there was always that question, well, there is a limit to this now. There are measures that you at some place you have to practice tough love. And then, oh yes. Can we see ourselves just purely loving on people and that's what they're needing? They're not going to be changed by calling them into accountability. You're getting nowhere. This is the biggest thing I learned in engaging with this homosexual man for those months that I had that privilege. You're not going to get anywhere telling them you're messed up. You need to change. You need to quit making these choices. You get nowhere. But if you begin to just help them understand the unfathomable love of God, it does something. And unfortunately, you know, he's in God's hands. And so, but unfortunately, I wasn't at that time able to help much at all. I don't think I understood the love of God because I was still trying to call into question, okay, you're still accountable for some of this lifestyle. And I've got to help you see that. And so that's where my mind was still going. Arnold, you look puzzled. No. Tell us what you think, Arnold.
It's for me, it's just not, it's more than just knowing, it's living in the understanding of love.
Yeah. I've drawn again to think of that film that we here a couple of years ago we were all watching called Come Sunday, famous African-American pastor who was very much considered the up-and-coming superstar, the next generation of Christian evangelists. And so he was just expending himself, running all around the world, trying to help people get saved before they died and for the sake, you know, the imagination that they're going to hell. Until one night he's sitting in his hotel room, lonely and tired, and watching a commercial for the children of some Asian continent who were, you know, the appeal for help. And God spoke to him, "Who told you I'm sending these children to hell?" and radically changed his ministry. And of which, of course, he lost his church, he lost his ministry, but in the latter years of his life was doing just what we're talking about, learning to minister to the brokenhearted and the people in bondage.
Arnold, you mentioned a couple of weeks back walking in the Spirit. And as we were talking today, I'm thinking about that. And correct me if I'm kind of off base here, but I'm thinking that one of the keys to walking in the Spirit is understanding God's love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how else can we be walking in that Spirit if we don't have a grasp, or we're not mm-hmm. at least mm-hmm. pursuing an understanding of his mm-hmm. love?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't this what 1 Corinthians 13 is all about? I can prophesy, I can have faith, moving mountains, I can do all these things, but if I have not love, I'm nothing. Paul was emphasizing there the tremendous importance of love being the all priority of our life. Yeah, I've learned in Christianity that you can do a lot of things, but not really be a part of love.
It's kind of a conversation stopper.
I was going to say there's silence across the land. Oh, David, thanks for.
But Dennis, doesn't all that happen? Don't we have to have the all in all walk in the Spirit? It's in God's hands. And when we pray, we must believe. Mm-hmm. Attitude. But that just doesn't come real easy, you know.
You're right. And that's a part of God's working in us, Jerry, where I believe that this is happening without even our consciousness, that God is working in us, opening up, cracking open, and helping us, as you say, to see where we really are, that we are one with God, and this is who we are, and as his children representing his nature, we have, as Paul said, we live and move and have our being in him. And yet the church has understood us not. See, we don't see ourselves as being as all in all. And so it's hard for that idea, or for the idea of us demonstrating the love of God, is hard because we see ourselves separate from God. We don't see ourselves as all in all.
And you're not going to get it from the church, right? I mean, that's where you should get it.
Exactly, Jerry. Well, exactly.
You know, I was sharing with Dennis this week that I went back to, and I was reading through Luke, and Luke starts out with Zacharias in the temple. And Gabriel comes to him and says, "Hey, I'm going to give you a child." And it's something that he had been praying for. Zacharias had been petitioning the Lord for a child, and Gabriel says, "You're going to get one," and then Zacharias doesn't believe him.
Yeah, right.
It's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, how often do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
That you petition the Lord for something, you want something, and then he shows you he's going to give it to you, and you go, "Oh, really? I mean, like that?" I think, yeah. You know, and then we want to work on it and say, "Well, why don't you give it to me in a different way or something?" But
right. So I still want to control it.
You know, that was a reminder that where's my faith?
Mm-hmm.
You know, am mm-hmm. I going to believe when I get an answer to a prayer that it's what God wants?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. we don't even know how to ask. See, that's clearly apparent. We don't really know how to ask for what we need. If it wasn't for the Spirit praying for us, I don't. Wow, where would we be? But I tell you this: the underlying thing that God wants to do in our lives is to demonstrate, as Jerry just said for us, to express the all in all. Who is God? God wants to be known. Is he a God that's bipolar? You know, we've mentioned this before in some of our conversations. Is he a God of anger and God of love? And that's how Christianity has displayed God. Is he that? No. Everything about God is wrapped up in one thing, and so clearly taught to us by John and Paul. He is love. And love is what will win or be a powerful factor in reconciling all creation back to him. It's not going to be judgment as we think of it. You know, horrible things that churches told us that we have to be afraid of, hell and damnation forever. No, those things are inconsistent with who God really is. No, God is love. And love will be the greatest factor to win back the broken, the people who are in the bondage, you see. Boy, Arnold and Dave, this is so apparent in what we are currently reading in EB, in Savior of the World. You see this message coming out from him. God intends to reconcile everything back to him. And who's going to be the ones engaged in that process? That's us. The sons of God. And by the way, when I say sons of God, Johnny, we're not excluding women.
Well, you know, I mean, it's going back to how English was taught years and years and years ago.
Sure.
That you always referred to the masculine, even though the feminine was present.
Right.
But it was all inclusive.
Sure.
And then made it racist. So,
See, we talk in natural terms, we talk in human terms, but God has a terminology that's spiritual.
Yeah.
And there is no such thing as male and female in the spiritual level. Okay. And when he talks about sonship, we're talking about all inclusive, male, female.
Yeah.
Sonship is a sense of who we really are in God. It's that level. And it's hard to even explain this, you know, but that's who we all are in his eyes.
And it's hard to maintain that thought and that understanding, because you see somebody doing something stupid and you want to go over and beat some sense into them, but
yes. Oh, how Dave, you and I have learned, especially in the area of men's ministries, how the whole accountability thing is a crock. We have to call men into accountability, and that's how they'll conform to the image of Christ. No, you don't get anywhere telling people how bad they are or infecting guilt in their lives and shame. That's not God's way.
I love the period where we went through that we had to sign an agreement when we joined a men's group or something.
Oh, man. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, man. And how we learned that that's not how God looks at them. He's not holding people accountable. He has pity on them. And so when we look at people, we should have those same eyes out from the throne, seeing people in bondage and saying, oh, I hurt for you. How I pray that you not do or continue to see yourself as either a victim or full of anger, and that you don't need to do this to yourself. I come here to tell you who you really are. You're a child of God, loved by God, and one into himself by love. Now, we've got to see that ourselves first. We have to see ourselves in that place and being called.
You know what that means to me in a practical way, Dennis? Is,
okay.
Quit trying to live my life right. Instead, think on what is good and pure and love of God and live that way. You know, you can complicate with all the different things that are what is being done good in Christianity and what's not, or what I should or shouldn't do.
Right.
Stop that for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So in these cases where we're being called to participate, we quickly think, okay, what's the right thing to do? All right. We immediately align ourselves up which is good or bad, which is evil, which is good. And that's how we've been
you
trained.
You just stopped there and didn't ask those questions. You
let
it be. Yeah. You quoted Mary saying that several times. Just let it be.
Right. But this is how this is the effect on us of the fall, guys. This is the knowledge of good and evil. This is how we operate today. And Christianity has fallen right into that place of saying, okay, we have to be discerners of what's good and what's evil, and we have to learn how to practice good instead of evil. That's not the perspective that I live in.
See, we're beyond the fall.
Yes.
We're a different race of people.
Yeah, that's not our criteria anymore.
In fact, it's not us, it's Christ.
Which
gives us access to the purest form of love there is, the Father.
Amen. And if we see this is oh wow, there's so much for me that goes on in my head as I see this unfolding, is that this is the door that's been broken open, and Jesus knocking at us and the church, the message to Laodicea, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. What is that door? That's the door of our soul, door of our hearts, and saying, would you come in to me? Would you come and journey with me into the unfathomable riches? See, it's that veil has been torn, and we are now invited to go into the Holy of Holies. This is what we've talked about in numbers of weeks ago. This is what it means to now see ourselves in Jesus. We've been talking years about Christ in us, but he's so drawing us now to walk through that veil that's been ripped open into the Holy of Holies, where no one but the priest could go, and that only once a year in fear and trembling, now freely open. And God is inviting us, come boldly, come into the holy place, to the throne, the seat of mercy. Come there. And we are still reticent. We are saying, oh, I don't know if I can learn to love someone that's so angry or so bitter or so obviously living in that other lifestyle. God, I don't know. Don't call me to love that person. Says, come on, come on. This is what it means to come into me. I want you to see how I love them, how I hurt for them, how I've bled for them, and how through my love they can be released.
It gets the me out of it. It's no longer me.
Exactly.
And if it's no longer me, then it is pure love that's going back. All God is.
Amen. Is
giving, serving, loving, understanding.
Wow. Oh, excuse me. So, David, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
opening that opening that question to us. This is the God update for today. And wow, guys, it's a sensitive area, and we trust anybody who's watching and listening will catch the spirit of this. Even if in this day and age, if even if we are heard talking about homosexual, the understanding is that believers, oh, you're out there talking about how bad we are. Hopefully you'll get the sense, you'll get the spirit of our conversation here today. This is the love of God and how we are learning to move into and be the dispensers and the manifestation of the heart of God to the world that's so broken and needy. And some people don't even think they need it. Okay. Unfortunately, some people in these lifestyles and these brokenness and these bondages don't think they really need it. You know, their eyes are so calloused, but oh, God hurts for them to find the wholeness and completeness that He's designed them to have. Well, anything else you want to contribute?
Have to chew on this a little bit.
Yeah. Yes, it's really heavy, guys. And sometimes there aren't words to really articulate what God is pouring into our hearts these days, but He is, and this is exciting. This is the age that He's drawing us into. We're moving out of the religion, out of the church age, into the age of the manifest sons of God. Wow, it's exciting. So with that, those watching, listening, if you want to leave a comment, do so on the comment page, and we'll be happy to get back to you. So for us here today, good to see you all. Bettendorf, glad you're back with us.
Yeah, we're so glad to have been here today. This was a very good one. Love, love, love.
Amen. Love wins all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So take care, everybody. Have a great week.
Thank you.
Go in the love of God.
Thank you.
All right.
See you all next week.
You bet.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye now.